4, would you look there with me, please? What a beautiful day, amen? Man, it's gorgeous outside, and I think as long as we look at the scriptures, it's gorgeous inside too, amen? We got some good things to look at here in Hebrews chapter 4. I trust it will be a help to us and an encouragement to do the things of God. Hebrews chapter 4 is where we're at. We're going to look at verse number 11, 12, and 13. Since it's only 3 verses, I'm going to ask you to read those with me in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 11, Hebrews 4, excuse me, starting in verse 11, and then reading down to verse 13. So in Hebrews 4, verse number 11, let's begin. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened upon the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews chapter 4. The Bible here, the book of Hebrews, of course, given that name because it was a theme written with the Hebrew believers in mind. Those who had been Jewish when they grew up, they were born in a Jewish family, they had learned the traditions and the religions of the true Jewish religion, and they got saved. Praise God. Isn't it a wonderful thing when somebody gets saved? I'm here to tell you, that's something to shout about. But here's the problem that was following these people. A lot of those traditions they grew up with were haunting them. They were being told, you know, Jesus Christ and faith in him just isn't enough. There's got to be some additional things if you want to see God in glory someday. And so God, through inspiration, I believe, the Apostle Paul, though he's not named as the human recorder, but certainly the Holy Spirit records for us the book of Hebrews. These traditions claimed that their faith in Christ just wasn't enough. So Hebrews addresses those things. I want to share with you this morning that there are some serious things we need to consider about the Christian life. Serious contests have always come at a great cost. Today, 65,000 people have paid an average of $4,500 per person to sit in a stadium that costs $115 million to build. They will watch up to 92 men, 22 at any given time during game time, get paid a minimum. Listen, those who lose, each player gets $62,000 for the game. The ones who win get $124,000. Man, I would sign up just to ride the pine. Wouldn't you do that? Just for an hour? But don't get sidetracked by the numbers. The football they will be disputing over only costs $119 per ball. And they will go through an average of 25 to 30 of them in that game. I'm here to tell you, things to God are important. By the way, that contest isn't that important. That contest isn't that important. It'll be here. And it'll be gone, and I'm kind of, you know, and if there's any good thing about what happened over in Washington, D.C. in the last 2 weeks, how much have you heard about the Super Bowl? Wow. But as believers, we can get sidetracked. Sidetracked. Chapter 4 encourages the believer to get back in the game. What do I mean by that? That is that they were called to get back to a victorious walk with the Lord. The title this morning is, Get Back in the Game. Get back in the game. Christian, do you remember when the things of God were exciting? Remember when just open up the Bible and you couldn't wait to hear what God had to say? Remember when doing something for God was exciting and you looked forward to it and you actually enjoyed it? Can I share with you, God wants to be that, have that kind of Christian life for you and for me. There are times we hit the plateaus, maybe even the valleys. But God says sometimes it's up to us to get back in the game. He says, verse number 11, take a look at it right at the beginning. He says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, that life that is fruitful, that life that God has called you to be in. That rest, by the way, if you look in chapter 4, starting in verse number 1, you find he uses the example of the Old Testament Israel. He had a promised land waiting for them. He had a place of fruitfulness waiting for them. But what did they do when they got there? Right at the edge. Man, they were at the border. They rejected it. And for 40 years, they didn't know what the fruitful land was like. I'm here to tell you, whether it's been 40 years or 4 days, God has some new things and exciting things for you to do for him. And he wants you to start right now. Let's take a look about getting back in the game. Before we do, would you bow with me? We'll ask God to help us as we look in his word this morning. Lord, you're so good to us. You're so gracious to us. Your mercies are new every morning, and that includes on Sunday. Now, Lord, I ask, Father, would you help us open our eyes to, number one, who we are in response and reflection of Jesus, but number two, how vulnerable are we to you, to the Holy Spirit? How open are we to be led of you today? We ask that you'd get the glory through everything that's said and that's done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Get back in the game. Number one I'd like to share with you, we see in the scriptures, is this. There's the importance of being diligent. The importance of being diligent. He says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. The word labor is used many times. The particular Greek word for labor is translated a few different ways in the New Testament. That's why it's helpful to know some of the Greek words. You don't have to know them all. I don't know them all, but I know some of them. And this is one of them you can find out. It's used in the same scriptures, but different words, what gives us a little better understanding of how to put it into practice. For example, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says, labor therefore, be diligent. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Looking at verse number 15 here in 2 Timothy. And I have a feeling you've heard this verse before. Would you read it with me? It's verse number 15. 2 Timothy 2, 15, let's read it out loud. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Same word, study. Study. Labor. Same thing. Same word. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's take a look there and look at verse number 10. 2 Peter, looking at chapter 1. Now look at verse number 10 with me, please. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. The Bible says to give diligence, same word, study, labor, diligence. It means to be diligent or putting all of oneself into what he's doing and do it with urgency. Other passages of scripture talk about doing something, and I mean now, urgency, working, laboring, studying, and being diligent. Otherwise, and let's go back to the Bible here in Hebrews chapter 4, notice what it says in verse 11. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man, notice the words, fall after the same example of unbelief. Give diligence in the things of God, or we will fall into the same pattern of unbelief, just like Israel did. They did not believe that God could open up that land when they heard about the giants. They did not believe that anything was going to be able to conquer those big walls around those tough cities, man. People who were against them. They did not believe that God could do what he said he could do. Would you believe God will do what he says he can do today? That's what the scriptures are encouraging us right now to do. Will you just believe that God can do what he says he will do. There's the importance of being diligent. Here's some thoughts about being diligent. The first one is this: let's get fired up about living the Christian life. Let's get fired up about living the Christian life. The song Brother Paul shared, and then the chorus says, hallelujah. When was the last time you just said hallelujah? Should we say it together? On the count of three, and say it like you mean it. Hallelujah means praise to God, glory to God. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Hey, man, you sounded pretty good there. The Bible says get excited about the things of God. Let's get fired up about the Christian life. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, here's why, when no man can work. There's going to come a point when our work, on this life, in this world, is going to be finished. That could be by the end of the day. Did you know that? You and I have no guarantees. We got no guarantee. We're planning for tomorrow and next week and maybe even next year. But there's no guarantees. However much time the Lord has for you and me, God says, listen, get fired up about living for him. Diligence is needed to produce the Christ-like walk. Turn with me if you would. Let's take a list. Take a look at the list in 2 Peter there in chapter 1. We looked at verse number 10. I'd like to show you a couple other things in 2 Peter 1. The Bible talks about is needed to produce the Christ-like walk. As a matter of fact, if you come on Wednesday night, you're going to see us look at these in detail. We're looking in 2 Peter chapter 1 right now. It's a blessing to study the Word of God, and I trust if you can, come be with us. Look in 2 Peter 1, verse number 5. Here's what he said. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You know what I look at that? I look at that list, and here's what I think. Work. Work. Man, that's hard. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. God says, here, I'm going to help you. But here's what you need to do about your faith. Keep adding to it. He says, add to it. Add to it virtue, knowledge, temperance. Then he goes on, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Work, but it's part of living the Christ-like walk. You know who did those things? You know who lived like that all the time? Jesus did. Jesus did. We're Christ-like when we're doing what Jesus did. Diligence is needed to produce that Christ-like walk, and diligence is needed to activate our spiritual gifts as well. Romans chapter 12, let's take a look there. Romans chapter 12. Diligence is needed to activate the spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 6 with me. We could look at this whole chapter, and someday we will, but this particular verses, and starting in verse number 6, is what we want to focus on at the moment. Talking about the spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 6, take a look. Here's what he says. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, verse 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The Bible talks about spiritual gifts. Some others mentioned in Scripture: wisdom, understanding, faith, discernment. And the Bible goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or 13, right after he talks about the gifts in chapter 12, he starts out, now all this is great, but it needs to be done in charity or love. Love. Spiritual gifts. Diligence is needed to activate them. I worked with a flooring company one time, and while we worked on different floors, one of the substances we needed to put down various materials, one of them was carpeting and others were hard tile. Well, with carpeting in some places, it called for epoxy. Epoxy. How many have ever worked with epoxy before? If you worked with epoxy, you don't forget it. I'm here to tell you, it's nasty stuff. You cannot work with it without gloves, unless you want to get hurt and you lose your fingers or something like that. But here's what epoxy is. Epoxy, it's a man-made material. It's glue. It's typically two or three parts. It has a powder. It has maybe another particular substance, and then oftentimes you'll add a little water in it, possibly. By themselves, those substances can't do anything. It's powder. It can't stick to anything. This other material, it's not sticking to anything. Water itself, that's not going to glue down anything. But man, when you combine them, you'd better be ready to go. Because within seconds, that cool water, that room temperature epoxy materials, when they are combined together, right away, the one thing you notice right away is the heat that comes out of it. Immediately. It's almost like it's going to start on fire. Then you have just a few minutes, perhaps an hour, to use that epoxy so that it's still usable, still moldable. But after that, it's going to start sticking, and there's nothing you can do to get it off. Epoxy. The different parts, when they come together, are very powerful, and the bond is inseparable. Do you know what? Holy Spirit's got the power, not you and not me. But he says there's some diligence necessary to activate those gifts that God has through you. The Lord has something for you to do, and he says, man, get working at it. It's needed. Activate them. We need your help in the use of the spiritual gifts. Somebody else might need your help to minister, to exhort, to be diligent, to discern. God says, listen, get diligent. Diligence is needed to bring others to Jesus. Acts chapter 20, verse number 20. As a matter of fact, we've considered making this our theme verse for 2020. Acts chapter 20. Let's take a look at it. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse number 20 with me, please. Diligence is needed to bring others to Jesus. This is the Apostle Paul. He was telling those that knew him and loved him that this was probably the final time he would see them. Here's what he says. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly. And listen to this. And from house to house. Man, I was out there shaking the bushes, reaching you. I was out there diligent, laboring to bring somebody to Jesus. And by the grace of God, here you are. By the grace of God, you opened your heart to him and received Christ, or living for him. Diligence. Let's get fired up about living the Christian life, and let's get focused on living by faith. Living by faith. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 4, notice what it says in verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of what? Unbelief. The exact opposite of faith. The exact opposite of what God says we are to live, especially when we're born again. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. They needed faith in the Old Testament. They needed faith in the New Testament. And we still need faith today. Amen? Amen. We still need it. And we need it in Christ. And we need it in the Lord. And God says, you need to get diligent about things for him. We got to have that faith, that growing faith. Where are you this morning? Is being diligent about the Christian life important to you? There's the importance of being diligent. Number two. Let's go back. Hebrews chapter 4. Take a look at verse 12 here. Let's see that again. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Number two, there's the importance of being discerning. I'm going to get back to a fruitful life. When we get back in the game, there's the importance of being discerning. He says the Bible here helps us become, the Bible itself, is a discerner of the things of the heart. Number one, the Bible's edge is needed to overcome spiritual, listen to this, obesity. Spiritual obesity. Regardless of how we appear physically, we can spiritually be feeding off the things of God and never put them into practice. Spiritual obesity. The Bible's edge is needed. Notice what the Bible says about itself. It is a two-edged sword. Man, we need it sharp. To keep it sharp, we need to be living for God and seeing His Word like He does. Will you submit? Number one, will you submit to its authority? Again. Will you submit to its authority? Again. I remember as a kid, one of the Bibles that I treasured was one of the first Bibles that was given to me. And I don't have it anymore. As a matter of fact, my mom might still have it in the basement over at her place. And I would write things and notes in that Bible. And man, in big letters, I wrote, "This Bible belongs to Mark Michalsowitz." And yes, I did spell it right even back then. And I was excited. And I put dates in there about things. Man, I was excited about the Bible and using it. Some of us, you shared with me, oh, my father, oh, my uncle, or whoever, when I got a hold of their Bible, you should see all the notes they've got in the scriptures that they wrote down. Why is that? Because they had no respect for the Word of God? No, it was the exact opposite. That when they turned the page, someone had shared a biblical truth with them on that verse at that particular moment, and man, they had to write it down so they would never forget it when they came to the page. Can I ask you this? How important is the Bible? How exciting is it to you? Will you submit to its authority again? Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Number two, will you take seriously its authenticity again? Will you take seriously its authenticity again? 2 Peter chapter 1, if we were to continue on, here's what it says in verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." The Apostle Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote and recorded 1 and 2 Peter. And here's what he said. Here's what he said. "I was up on the mountain when Jesus transfigured in front of me. I was there when Moses and Elijah appeared to me. I was there when James and John witnessed it together. And man, what a glorious thing to hear the voice of God say, 'This is my son. Hear ye him.'" And then he said, "But we have a more sure word." A more sure word than even the eyewitness that I can tell you about. We've got a word that's going to last in our life and for eternity. Let me ask you this. Will you submit to its authenticity again? The very words of God. This is not just a book. This is your life's guidebook, man. This is it. Everything else should be sifted through this. Did you know that? Everything else. Everything else we read or put into practice, does it agree with the Word of God? And number three, will you fill your soul's appetite again? Psalm 119 goes on to say in verse 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to the mouth." The Bible's edge is needed to overcome spiritual obesity. You know, unbelief dulls the Bible's cutting edge to the Christian. Unbelief dulls the cutting edge of God's Word to the Christian. I start doubting what it says. Its sharpness gets a little more duller. Now, it is the Word of God. No disrespect in the sense of what it is. You cannot change that. Many people over history have tried to change that. They've tried to remove it. They've tried to erase it. Let me tell you something. Back in Nazi Germany, the books that they were burning were not the books that the philosophers were writing. It was this book they were burning in Nazi Germany, because they knew that God's Word has power, but yet unbelief dulls its power. Would you let it have its sharpness again? Can I share with you this? The Bible's edge is needed to overcome the enemy. The Bible's edge is needed to overcome the enemy. Flesh will lose its appetite instead of the Spirit as we partake and follow God's Word. Galatians 5 and verse 16 says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We read about the Spirit in His Word. Flesh will lose its appetite instead of the Spirit. being cast aside. Pride will be destroyed instead of us destroying ourselves. Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. What does the scripture tell us to do? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Satan will flee instead of us. Let's look at this one. Matthew chapter 4. You might remember Jesus when he started his ministry. He followed the Lord's leading. Of course, always did. He was baptized of John the Baptist. Great example for us, by the way, believer. If you need to be baptized, like Jesus was, by immersion, then do it. He says, do what I do. Follow me. And that's certainly a step in the Christian walk. But then the Bible says he was ushered into the wilderness, ushered out by the Spirit, and he was tempted by Satan. He was there for 40 days, the Bible says. And then the day came when Satan came to visit him. And audibly, that conversation is recorded in Matthew chapter 4. What I'd like you to look at is verse number 10. Verse number 10, what happens? Well, let me start with verse number 8. Verse number 8. Again, this is the third time Satan came to him, tried to tempt Jesus. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Now listen to this. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What happened next? Look at verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Man, if Satan's riding your back, if he's right on your pocket hip, and you just feel him continually picking away, here's what God says. One of the weapons we've got is the Word of God. Paul described it as part of the Christian's armor, and he called it the what? Sword of the Spirit. The Bible tells us you and I, we need it. It's important. It's discerning. And it can change our life if we make it a part of it every day. You want to get back to a fruitful time or have a fruitful time. God says there's the importance of being diligent. There's the importance of being discerning. And finally, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Finally this morning, there's the importance of being discoverable. There's the importance of being discoverable. So that's not a word. It is now. Discoverable. Discoverable. What is he talking about in verse number 13? Let's see. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Whose sight? God's sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Discoverable. There's the importance of being discoverable. Now, for the most part, we don't like to be discovered. Whether it's in a physical way, emotional way, whatever kind of way, we'd rather have control over what others see. But here's what the Bible's telling us. It's telling us that God sees it all, inside and out. Do you question whether God is really being good to you? Is the Heavenly Father withholding some blessings from you? Well, the Bible says to stop living as if God does not see, that God does not know, that God does not care, because that's not the God that you asked to save you. The God you asked to save you does love you. Amen? The God you asked to save you does see, and he does care. And by the way, the God that you asked to save you wants to be involved in the decision-making, in the living, in everything, in your relationships, etc. Here's some thoughts about how God can be, we can get back to the right discoverable place with God. Number one, lower the defenses against the Savior. Lower the defenses against the Savior. Psalm 26 and verse number 2 says this, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. David didn't just say, I know you can see me. Here's what he said, examine me and prove me. Prove me. Put me to the test, Lord. And show me, and there, what was he really saying? He was saying, show me where I failed. That is what he was saying. Are we willing to say that to our God? Examine me, Lord. I don't need to see all the great and wonderful things. I need to see where I need to grow. Try my reins and my heart, he said in Psalm 26, verse 2. Tonight we're going to look at this in the Lord's Supper. I trust you'll come back tonight. Please join us. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you want to follow him and do some obedience with him, join us tonight. I want to tell you something. You don't care whether who wins that game tonight. Amen. And you don't need to be necessarily busy with it. By the way, after the service, there's nachos and chips at our house. But anyway, the more important things are going to be here. Lower the defenses against the Savior. Here's what we're going to look at tonight, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. We look at it each month when we come to the Lord's table. And that is this, where God says, let a man examine who? Himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examine. David said it. Christian needs to say it. Lord, I'm going to lower my defenses, but man, you may not like what you see, but I'm here to tell you, you can't get better without seeing it and letting God work through it. Number two, be current with Christ and not the world. Be current with Christ and not the world. Look with me in Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians and chapter 3. Well, here we go. Colossians chapter 3, looking at verse number 17. Verse number 17. Be current with Christ and not the world. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at the verse first. Verse number 17, here's what he says. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Christian friend, let's imagine, let's consider if you were in a canoe. How many have ever been in a canoe before? Or a kayak, or something where you had to do, you are the manpower, all right? Not the old motorboat. You're the manpower. You're the one. Maybe a raft. You name it. Okay. And you're flowing in the water down a river. And things are going good. How many like flowing in the water when the current is taking you where you want to go? Don't have to use the paddle. Man, it's just going to take me right where I want to go, the destination. But then all of a sudden, there's a branch in the river. And another current starts coming, and it goes another direction. Not where you want to go. If you didn't get out your paddle, what is likely to happen? Depending on which current is stronger is the direction you will go. And if they're equally the same, then guess what? You're going nowhere. The current will take you where you'll go. You see, some people think that they're paddling upstream against the world and they're just suffering for Christ. Can I tell you something? You're in the wrong river. You need to be in God's current. Amen. The Bible says to glorify him. Listen to what it says again. Verse number 17. We're in Colossians chapter 3. Here's what he said. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all what? In the current, the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If Jesus can approve it, listen to this, Jesus will protect it. If Jesus can approve it, Jesus will protect it. He says, be current with Christ and not the world. Which current are you in? God doesn't necessarily not us want, he doesn't want us to do nothing. But he wants you to know and me to know that in his path, in his current, with the illustration, it's easier. Doesn't mean everything's going to be our way. No, sir. Some of the most godly people are behind bars right now. They gave their testimony for Christ. And I'm here to tell you, there are people behind bars on Sunday morning because they were a testimony for Jesus. But they would rather be there than deny their Savior. Look on the website, Voices of the Martyrs. hear the testimonies of some of these people. We had a missionary ourselves from Iran. People are behind bars and some have given their lives in 2019, 2020 because of their testimony for Christ. That doesn't mean it was easy. But they'd rather be there than deny the Savior. Where are we? Are we current with Christ or the world? A third thought about being discoverable before God is get serious about the Lord with the time that you have. Turn with me to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse number 15. Verse 15 and verse 16, I'm going to ask, would you read those verses with me? We'll read them out loud together in Ephesians, in chapter number 5. Let's start with verse 15 and read 16 too. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Get serious about the Lord with the time you have. Circumspectly means all around you. Circumspectly. I'm visible. I'm taking some time. I'm aware there are some dangers out there. But I still need to redeem the time. I still need to see God do something. I want to see him do something through me. You know, the Bible calls the Christian life a walk, a race, a work, a fight. Here in Hebrews 4, he calls it a rest. This spiritual contest has serious consequences when we choose the opposite of what God says. But it also has abundant rewards when we follow our Savior. So here's the question. Will you get back in the game? Will you strive to live the fruitful life for God with him in mind, with his motives, so that he can get the glory? I want to tell you something. That's the best life. That's the best life. In a few weeks, we're going to have Brother Flanders here. I'm excited about it. I hope you are. I hope you are. We're going to start giving, or we're going to start having some flyers so we can put them in people's hands. We're going to take some time as a church, if you can join us, to pass those things out to people in our community, in our town. But I want to tell you, for all the time and effort we might make, and the time Brother Flanders might be with us, and he's going to be here for a few days, all of it could be for nothing if we choose not to do it the Lord's way. If we choose to just stay on cruise control, God wants to do something. He wants to move you and me. That's what business he's in. You know, God's in the moving business. He says, move toward me, come unto me, draw nigh to me. That's the kind of business he's in. Are we in his business? Let's get back in the game. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. I pray this morning, Lord, would you help us, as the word's already told us, to examine ourselves and see where we're at compared to what you say we can be or should be. Lord, I pray, would you move even now? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and maybe you're here this morning and you need Christ as your Savior. I want to ask this question before I go on. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm asking no one to look around, please. It's a very serious question. If you need Christ as your Savior and you'd like to settle that this morning, you'd like to know exactly how and you'd like to do that, can I pray with you about that and perhaps later talk about that? Pastor, here's my hand. I need Jesus as my Savior. There's no doubt. I want to take care of it. I want to change my life with Christ. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? If you just raise your hand up and put it right back down. There is no one else looking. It's just me. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Very well. If you're able, would you stand with me, please? If you're able, would you stand with me? With heads bowed still and eyes closed still, I'm going to ask you this. Is it time for you to get back to the fruitful life? Is it time for you to get back to that love for Christ, that love for the things of God? Is it time to stop being on cruise control and start being controlled by Christ? Is it time to get back in the game? Maybe God's spoken to you this morning, Christian friend. And he said, you need to get with me. You need to draw an eye to me. Whatever it might be, would you do that? In just a moment, I'm going to ask the organ to play the song we're going to sing softly. And when she begins, would you step out? Ask God to help you. It's a big deal. If you make a step forward, you're telling the Lord you're willing to physically make a movement as well as spiritually. If that's what the Lord's leading you to do, would you respond as she begins to play? Christian friend, if God's speaking to you, why don't you respond? Lord, help me get back to the fruitful life. Help me get back to the love for you, for your word, for others. Help me get back to the place of abiding in Jesus too. Lord, help me. Make this one of the days to start. Make this a time of restoration and renewal. No one else is looking around unless you're moving towards the Lord. How about you? How about you? Would you get vulnerable with the Lord? Would you be willing to say, Lord, whatever it is you say, all right, I'll do. I'll do. The song is number 546. 546, Jesus said, I gave my life for thee. The question is, what have I done for him? 546, if God's moving you, would you respond? As we sing, number 546, I gave my life. Let's get in the real contest, amen? Let's get busy about the things of God. Lord can do something that you've never expected he could do through you, but he's just waiting for us to say, okay. Amazing. The God of the universe is waiting for our permission. Doesn't that startle you? Startles me. He's just waiting for us to give him permission. Let's do it. Let's do it today. Let's close with a word of prayer this morning. Meet back here tonight, 5 o'clock choir, and 5:30 men will pray, and 6 o'clock will be our service. We've got the Lord's Supper tonight. Looking forward to a great evening. Trust you are too. Brother Kurt Wallace, would you please close our morning with prayer?